Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Hey, finally, merciful Jesus, we have the band back together. Sam, people were worried that you had left the show.
I thought you'd been fired.
Well, I'm glad that they like me enough to worry about that.
How was the eclipse?
Oh, it was amazing. So I was in California for the 2017 one.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to see any of it.
Okay.
And I did not know what to expect. I mean, obviously, I had covered it, read news stories about it, seen pictures of the previous ones. But when that hit totality, it was a
weird feeling. It went dark, huh?
And we had talked before the eclipse about how people were going to be weeping or crying when it happened.
Oh, no.
I didn't weep. I did not cry. But when I saw it, I understood why people could have wept.
Did you mate with a turtle?
I did not mate with any tortoise. No.
Did you see that we had tortoise in the studio the other day?
I am very jealous that I missed another rendition of Dana and Parks Brings Pets into the Studio. But it looked like you guys had a great time.
Oh, my gosh. They were hilarious,
yeah, they
Sam.
They were awesome.
Did the tortoise sing on the air or
no.
something?
No.
The tortoise did not sing. They didn't sing. They didn't pee. They didn't poop.
They raced. We raced them.
Oh, nice.
We did race the tortoise.
So yes. Much fun.
It was a good time. I sounded like the double rainbow guy once that eclipse hit totality.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, it was awesome.
Did you go with the lady friend?
I did, and my family. There were seven of us, and we just stood there and stared at the sky for three straight minutes in awe of what was happening.
Good for you, man. Yeah. I'm so happy. Welcome back.
It's good to be back.
And not that Quentin didn't do a great job.
Don't ever leave again.
Quentin did a great job, but it's good to have you back. It's really good to have you back. How was your day? You have had a busy day.
I have had a very rare busy day for Dana. You know that.
Oh, my
gosh. I'm so happy. I mean, it's just been one to the next to the next to the next. But
So big breakfast this morning.
Big breakfast this morning.
Tell everybody
and
about that.
If you guys missed it, just hundreds and hundreds of people over at Church of the Resurrection to celebrate the 7 days kindness breakfast. And I think Mindy
was
Corcoran,
Adam Hamilton there?
I didn't see Pastor Hamilton, but Mindy Corcoran obviously was there. Her son Lucas was there. And just hundreds of city leaders, law enforcement, business leaders, like you name it, everybody was there. Got to see Mindy. I'm going to hope to connect with her before she goes back home. And we are going to have two of the young men on our program at 5 o'clock tomorrow that were scholarship award recipients, right? They had all these high school kids there, Scott, and you're going to love this, who have done various things throughout districts across all of our area to spread kindness. Because, you know, Mindy will say, we are not born to hate. Hate is taught.
Correct.
We are born to love and be love, and kindness can be taught. Okay, that's kind of one of the big arching themes of 7 days, make a ripple, change the world. And it's been 10 years this week.
Has it been 10 years?
Since those three
innocent
community members were stolen from us. And every year at this breakfast, there is not a dry eye in the room. Because remember, Reet, when he was murdered at the Jewish Community Center, was there with his grandpa, Minnie's dad, to audition for kind of like a Star Search for teenagers there, right?
Yep.
And he was a singer. He loved to sing. He has this beautiful voice. And you've seen this, Scott. You remember that before his death, they filmed him singing a rendition of the national anthem.
Which we went to the Royals game.
Oh, they have played that at the Royals game.
God.
They had everyone stand today. And you see that sweet little buddy singing the national anthem. And remember, his voice was just starting to change. So at the very end, he says, "And the land of the free." And he gets the cutest little look on his face, and everybody laughs. But his brother Lucas was there today, who has just grown into this beautiful, amazing leader and young man. And it was just
what an incredible campaign that she has started.
Yep.
Through the ashes of
horror.
Yeah.
Horror.
Yeah.
Really.
And you know, I don't know that I could have done that.
I think most people would say they could not.
If somebody had butchered my child and my mother, I wish that I would have what Mindy had, or has, the forgiveness, the willingness to get up and move on. But I'm just not convinced that I have it.
So we lost Dr. William Corporan, her dad, Reet, her child, and then Terry Lamanno, who was gunned down at Village Shalom. And so go to 7days.org, spell it all out, S-E-V-E-N, days.org. And there's a beautiful theme for every single day. You know, one is love, one is kindness, one is onward. It's just all beautiful. Discover.
This is the week.
Okay. Because Saturday is the anniversary, the 10-year anniversary. Alvin Brooks was recognized today. Peggy Dunn was recognized.
Former mayor of Leawood.
Oh, absolutely. Bob Kendrick was there. Sue Ellen Freed. I mean, just these amazing thought leaders and change makers in our community. Then to see all the young kids that, you know, did art for the buttons and, you know, wrote essays for the scholarships.
Oh, let me see that.
Yeah, the buttons are beautiful. Oh, yeah. And we're going to have two of those kiddos on tomorrow at 5 because I'm, you know, what, and she will tell you this.
They drew these?
Yeah. We have to start with love and understanding among religions and races and all different things in our schools, Scott.
Yeah, it's who cares?
In our schools is where it starts.
Who cares what you believe? Wow. These are amazing.
Yep, it was absolutely lovely. Go to 7days.org. You can donate there, and we hope that you do, because that helps fund the scholarships for the kiddos. And then those kids go into school, Scott, and they're inclusion specialists. I mean, they try to make sure kid sitting at the lunch table isn't by himself.
Okay, so you answer my next question. So what do they do to make this work?
They're ambassadors in, I think she said, 22 or 24 different school districts. And by the way, they are always looking to partner with other schools. So if you are a counselor, if you're a principal, and you would like the program in your school, please go to 7days.org and there's more information there.
All right. Good to be with you guys on this gorgeous Wednesday afternoon. It is Wednesday, right?
Is it going to be a little rocky later? Are we feeling a little breezy?
Hang on.
Is this one of these days I need to be weather aware?
Let me take a gander.
Because I've been busy all day.
By the way,
I need to be weather aware, I don't know it.
Gander is one of my favorite words. No, I think we're good.
Okay.
I think we're good. Cloudy, 60s and 50s throughout the rest of the day. So we're good.
Okay.
We're good. You're off on Friday. It is your 50th birthday.
On Saturday. That happens to be accurate, yes. Why do you say it with such curiosity mixed with disdain?
I have a cake. I am so proud. Sam, you have seen the cake.
Oh, it is a delightful cake, and I cannot wait for it to be presented.
Okay, let me ask you, I don't know. I don't want to know what the cake, what is on, I don't want to know. But is there a bad word on it?
Yes. Okay.
But there's only one.
Okay,
only one.
He did say yesterday, Sam, I can't believe the woman put this on the cake. And I go, oh my God, what did you put on it? I don't want to know. I want to be surprised.
It's mildly profane.
It's the worst of the worst.
All right. Yes, I'm going on a golf trip with all of my golf girlfriends.
Good for you.
Friday. I will be back Monday. We're going down to Portochima, one of my favorite places to play.
And then I'm heading down to Cancun.
And then you're heading out to Mexico. So I won't see you for like 9 days.
No, that's not true.
Glad the band's back together.
Right?
No.
It's a lot.
No, that's not true. I leave on Sunday. And we come back on Thursday. So I'll be back on the show on Friday.
Okay. You don't do what Dana does and you go for like a whole week. You're like a 4-day kind of guy.
I'm a 5-day guy.
All right.
5 days, 4 nights.
Got to take in that ocean. Got to take in that breeze.
I'm going to put my toes in the sand.
Back to the old grind.
Have a couple of virgin margaritas. Virgin, what else could it? Pina coladas.
Maybe some NA Corona. I don't know if you'll have time.
Do what?
Some NA Corona.
NA Coronas, yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit there and put my toes in the sand.
Minutes ago from CNN, and this is being covered as breaking news.
Oh, my God. I see it now.
Multiple channels. I am sorry to report this from Twitter. There are multiple injured amidst a reported shooting at a Ramadan event in West Philadelphia. So here we are starting the show talking about understanding and kindness, especially among people of different faiths. And there is some sort of mass shooting incident in Philly.
Sam, let's go to CNN real quick.
It looks like it's under control at this point in time.
Yeah, and listen, it is Eid. It is the breaking of the fast, marking the end of Ramadan, and we see people wearing traditional dress in some of these pictures. We do not know if there is any connection, but there does appear that there was some gathering in the area related to the holiday. There are a lot of details that we don't know at this point, Ed. Just tell us what you're seeing as you're looking at these pictures. We see so many cars. It is obviously at a very busy intersection there. As you see, it appears to be a commercial area and maybe as well a residential area.
Yes, I'm told it's a park that the event happened in, and there were several hundred people in attendance. So when something this upsetting happens, they'll maintain a significant police presence there. But remember, the responsibility of the police when they arrive at a scene like this is to assist the injured, arrest the suspect if that's possible, and then process the crime scene. Now, they also have to worry about just general upset among the people that are at the crowd, in the crowd. You have to treat them as victims, even if they've been psychologically affected by what's occurred. So there's a lot of assurance and responsibility on the police to make sure that people get out of there safely and are taken care of as best that we can after an incident like this. But really, the responsibility of the police right now, secure that crime scene, grab all the evidence that you can.
All right, what do you have going on?
We'll continue monitoring. They are saying multiple victims, but several suspects have been apprehended. I'm also seeing on Twitter at least one.
Several suspects
apprehended, and I am seeing at least one officer is believed to have fired shots. We don't know whether or not there was a large security presence there at the time for Eid, which, by the way, is how we opened the breakfast today about understanding across religions, telling our neighbors who celebrate the end of Ramadan today that we're thinking about you.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what Give 7 Days is
all about. 913-586-7798. There has been a shooting at the end of Eid, shooting into a large crowd in Philadelphia. She is Dana Wright. That guy over there is Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. We will continue to monitor the situation out of Philadelphia, where police are responding to a shooting into a large crowd. This has some connection to Eid, E-I-D. It's the
end of Ramadan.
That's correct. E-I-D. Eid. The end of Ramadan. We are following that. We will continue to monitor it. Story here from the New York Times. And we don't talk politics on this show, but we do talk about diaries. A federal judge in Manhattan sentenced a Florida woman today to 1 month behind bars for her role in a brazen scheme to steal the diary of President Joe Biden's daughter and sell it to a right-wing group in the hope of disrupting the 2020 election. The conduct of the woman, Amy Harris, quote, was despicable and consequently very serious, according to Judge Laura Swain of the Federal District Court for the Southern District of New York. Ms. Harris, 41, tested the patience of prosecutors and the judge overseeing the case, missing repeated sentencing dates and jeopardizing what otherwise appeared to be a likely path to probation. In August of 2022, she pleaded guilty to conspiring to transport the stolen diary to New York, where she met with employees of the group Project Veritas and sold it for $40,000 just weeks before the election.
Okay. I'll stop you right there, because when I saw this headline, I thought, A, we don't talk about any of that, nor do I care for the purpose of this show. The first thought I had when I saw the headline stolen diary was, who keeps a diary?
I do.
And then Scott out in the newsroom goes, I do. And then Sam goes, well, I've kind of been thinking about it. I go, what is this, 1905?
I have been thinking about keeping a diary.
I do keep a diary. I write in it almost every day.
In the late 70s or early 80s, ladies, you remember, we all got those little key lock diaries.
By the way, it's called a journal.
Fine. We all got these little key lock diaries when we were little. And the little lock, because it was locked, because it was so secret, you know, you would unlock it and you would write in it and then you would shut it and you would lock it. And I love that little locking mechanism. I think I wrote in it twice and I never picked it back up again. I am not a journaler. I am not a diary person. My biggest fear is when you start writing your thoughts down on paper, that somebody would come across it, swipe it, read it.
It can be stolen.
Right. Steal it, take screenshots of it. I don't need what's rattling around in this head in written form anywhere.
It's therapeutic.
So's yoga.
You do 4 hours of it in documented audio form every single day.
Absolutely, but not like my deepest personal, like,
really?
Thoughts.
Really?
Sometimes, but most of the time not.
You don't share your deepest thoughts on this show?
No.
You're lying. You're lying.
If it was something I was afraid would be stolen in written word, I'm not saying it into a microphone. We share most of what's going on in our lives.
I share everything.
You are such a liar. And I wouldn't want you to share everything.
Well,
you and
I
share everything. Like, turn the mics off. You and I share everything. Yes. Or I'll say, I need to talk to you about something. We're not vomiting all of that into the microphone. And I certainly wouldn't write it down for someone to find and steal.
It's therapeutic.
I have had therapists over the years say, you ought to journal. I go, non-starter.
Okay.
It's like taking a nude photo of yourself and putting it up in the cloud.
That's
ain't
not
doing it.
That is not true.
I am telling you, I would not write that stuff down.
Well,
now, wait,
why?
Really quick. I did have a girlfriend a couple years ago give me a gratitude journal, and I love this. Every day, on every page, you write down one thing you are grateful for. That's it. And it's a good way to end your day. Like, if you've had a bad day, you could say, despite all of the bad stuff that happened to me today, I am grateful that Sam is back, because when he's gone, I want to kill him. Like, that's what I would write, okay?
Gotta find me first.
That was a weird gratitude.
That is.
I want to kill you.
Right, right.
When you're gone.
Different than journaling, which is putting down, like, your innermost thoughts and demons down on paper, which I would never do.
Well, I don't think I do.
I don't think that has to be journaling, though. Because when I say that I've been thinking about journaling, it's not to write down my deepest, darkest secrets, but to write down a fluttering thought that I know is going to leave in 15, 20 minutes, and I want to make sure I can go back and reference it.
Why?
I don't know. I have some good ideas sometimes.
Dear diary.
No, you don't.
Thanks.
Do you
she
say,
wants to kill me. You think
you
I'm
say,
dumb.
Dear diary, when
no,
you write down.
No, I don't. No, I don't, Dana.
Dear diary.
I don't say dear diary.
I'm feeling flummoxed today.
I don't say that.
Guess what else? Saw a cute girl in the elevator.
I might say
that. I just say I would never write that stuff down. You know why? Because someone would steal it and you wouldn't get $40,000 for it, but you might get $40,000.
Nobody would pay for your diary. Nobody cares.
They cared in this case.
Here's what I do. Rarely, but occasionally, I will go back and read what I wrote, say, a year ago.
Okay.
A year ago today was a significant day in my life.
It was.
Somebody walked out of my house.
But why would you want to go back and read that? That's like, to me, I call that a hot stove. That is a hot stove,
no,
and I don't want to go back and look at it.
And here's why. Here's why. To see how far I've come.
It would just make me mad all over again.
No, it doesn't make me mad. I go back a year ago to, listen, let's be honest, because that's what we do on this show.
Right.
A year ago today, a certain somebody walked out of my house, abandoned her family. Okay? She knows it, and I know it. Let's be honest.
Why would you want to go back and read about that day?
Because of how far I have come.
Let me give you the Cliff's Notes version. You don't need to go back and read it. You lost your mind. You left and went and got better. Now you're back. We don't need to look back and talk about it.
But it's therapeutic for me to go back and think about where I was.
And to see what your frame of mind was.
Exactly.
It would just make
exactly.
me mad all over again. And by the way, they've researched this. Only 8% of the population in America keeps a journal or a diary.
How many?
8%.
Well, I'm in the 8%. I write in it every single day.
What happens when you die, like Bridges of Madison County?
I want my kids to read it.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Do you know how much I would pay? How much I would pay if my dad had written a journal to go back and read about his time in Vietnam?
Okay, you clearly have not watched Bridges of Madison County, because while it was about that farm wife's life, it was also about her getting it on with the National Geographic photographer.
Well, that's fine.
Why would you want anyone to read that?
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You know, we're talking about journaling, which is weird. I don't know that we've ever talked about journaling over the last 13 years that we've been together. I have encouraged my daughters to journal. And here's why, Dana Wright.
Okay.
I wish, and it doesn't have to be your deepest, darkest secrets. You know, it could just be an encounter you had with a famous person, or we went to the sporting game last night, or I went to a Royals game last night. I wish, and don't tell me you don't, wish that you had a journal from when you were 20 years old. When you could say, I was in journalism class today with Professor Volek.
Yeah.
And he taught me this. So is it something innocuous like
right.
that?
Right.
Just simple stuff. It doesn't have to be your deepest, darkest, oh my gosh, I want to kill so-and-so, or, you know, I want to fling myself off a five-story window. It could just be something like, here's one. What's his face? From CNN. I remember when I had breakfast with...
So glad you journaled it.
If only you had written it down.
Exactly.
Well, and that's what I've been thinking about, because I've kind of been going through a mental health journey myself and mm-hmm. self-reflecting. And I was thinking back to, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, and I cannot put words to what frame of mind I was in. I can tell you where I was in life. I can tell you what I was doing, but I can't tell you how I felt because I have no catalog
of it. But why does that help you today to look back 5 years and see how you felt 5 years ago on this day?
To Scott's point in the last segment, to see where you are now and what has changed. And whether or not it's for the better or for the worse.
I was going to say, what if you were in a really, really good headspace on that day, and today you're having a bad day?
Well, it's time to make changes to try to get back to that headspace.
Okay, mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. I will tell you this. My grandmother always wrote down a few sentences in her little, I wouldn't call it a journal or a diary. She just kept notes about what was going on with me and my brother. And my mother over the years would say, hey, Dorothy, do you have that old journal? Can you pull that out and tell me what year Dana had chicken pox? And my grandma would go back and flip through the pages and go, well, yep, here it is right here. She was 6 years old. And, you know, she would be able to go back and do that.
Right.
When they left their house to move into a retirement home, my grandmother tossed all of the journals. Didn't tell anybody. She just tossed it. And my mom at one point said, whatever happened to all of those journals, Dorothy? And she goes, oh, we threw all that stuff out when we moved.
Why?
My mother was fit to be tied. Because now that they're gone, you're right, you would like to go back and see, oh, look at her handwriting and look mm-hmm. what she was thinking. I just think my head is sometimes an alphabet soup of all kinds of stuff. I don't know that I would want to go back and look at my own head 5 years ago.
Well, and not to mention, though, memories fade. No matter how much of a steel trap of a brain that you have, memories do fade, and nothing remembers better than the pen.
No. Do you know what else remembers better, Sam? All 13,000 hours of our podcast.
Well, that's okay. True.
I'm sorry. Like, we are in a little bit of a unique position where if my children in 40 years were like, God, I really wonder what was going on in my mom's head on April 10th.
Well, they could podcast.
They would literally just look back and go, okay, that's enough. Don't need to peek beyond that door anymore.
So years ago, and this is going to bother you because you and I were in competition when we were at KU to who was the better journalist. I was selected. I was selected.
Are you student of the week?
Student of the year. Bernard Shaw came to KU.
Wow.
And they selected one student from the journalism school to have breakfast with Bernard Shaw.
Yes.
I was the one who was selected. I know that troubles you and it bothers you.
It doesn't bother me because I was sick that day.
You weren't sick that day. So I was selected to have breakfast privately with Bernard Shaw at the KU Student Union.
Love it.
And if I had journaled back then, I would remember what Bernard Shaw and I talked about. But I don't. I just remember sitting there in awe.
Wait, how does knowing that today change you in any way?
Because I don't remember what we talked about.
I don't remember what we talked about yesterday. You and I are doing just fine.
You know what? I do because I wrote it down.
Okay.
It's also amazing what a few words will do to trip the memory.
Bingo.
You will remember a whole lot more than what you wrote down when you read those few words that you didn't remember writing down.
I just don't think my brain works like that. You guys, my brain is not a catalog.
See, there is not a therapist in the world who would not tell you to journal. My therapist, Dr. Barger, tells me write every day. And I do.
He's dead to me because he wouldn't take me as a client.
Well, he wouldn't take you as a client because it would be a conflict of interest.
And you don't journal.
Dustin in Waldo.
Non-journaler.
Dustin.
How y'all doing?
We're doing well, man.
Hey, I'm actually glad that you brought up that topic about the therapist there, because that actually, the screener leads right into it. I went through some treatment programs back in the day. I had an alcohol issue, depression, and it was a combined situation with military police firefighters as a military member. With PTSD treatment as well alongside of it all.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. One of the biggest things of the PTSD treatment is writing. And because like you guys have said, is those few words that you start writing down jog the memory for a lot of different things. And Dana, I hate to say it, but Parse is right, because writing things down helps you to process and actually start working through certain things and issues that you may have. And that's why, something that almost every therapist will be telling you to do to work through personal issues, because it's one of those things about just processing things that you may not have actually processed.
But let me ask you this, Dustin. Is it triggering for you to go back and look at that time?
To a small degree, but part of that triggering is important, because if you never actually fully process the experience and actually work through and work past it,
yep,
it's going to keep coming back and biting you. And because you can't fully recall it, you don't have anything to really like grasp your hands around. Mm. And because you can't grasp your hands around it, you can't figure out how to cope with it. And that's where it starts leading into other secondary issues. Like for mine was the depression, which led to alcoholism. And because I was finally able to actually start processing some of those things, I was actually able to start working through my depression that I had without medications. And that actually started getting me a handle on the alcoholism level that I had. And so to this day, that same thing, that journaling was literally what pretty much saved my life.
Whoa, there you go. And you're done.
We could journal that word. We can't say it on the radio.
You can't say the F word on the radio, my friend.
Man, I took 5 days off and I'm back. Woo!
Woo! Cat-like reflexes
the way,
in there, Stevie.
Sam.
Heartbeat through the roof.
Sam, I could not help but look at the dump button as it illuminated like a Christmas tree as you beat me to it.
Oh, the dump was gone before you even got your hand in the air.
I was like, whoa!
Here's what I could
do. Can't say that word, my friend.
I could go back to the gratitude journal. It was three things you're grateful for today. And it could be silly, like I'm grateful that I got to see Scott and Sam, or I got to go to Taco Bell, I got to do this. Or it could be, for the health of my children, to put you at the very end of the day in a healthier headspace than stewing about like your work day or whatever is happening in your life.
I did 5 gratitudes a day for about 6 months, and it was amazing what it did for
5?
My mental health.
I meet with a group of people every day. Mm-hmm. I think you guys can figure it out, but I won't say it.
It's a barbershop quartet.
It is a barbershop quartet. And we end the barbershop quartet every day with you have to give your gratitude.
Okay.
I want you to give me your gratitudes today. Gratitudes, not gratitude.
Right now?
Right now. I could do it easily.
Off the top of your head.
All right, okay.
I want you to tell me. I want, look at me right in the face.
I'm looking you in the face.
I want you to tell me today, what are you grateful for?
I am grateful for all of my friends with whom I am going out of town this weekend to celebrate 50 years on this earth.
Okay.
I am grateful for the 50 years on this earth. Mm-hmm. I'm always grateful the most for my children. Okay. And I am grateful that I got to see my friend Mindy Corcoran today because I only get to see her a couple times a year.
Okay. Sam, what are you grateful for?
That was only four. Can we get one more?
Yeah, let's have one more.
I am grateful that it is 2:45 and it's time for break and I no longer have to talk about this.
Okay, Sam, what are you grateful for?
I am grateful to have the opportunity to return back to work. Mm-hmm. I am grateful that I had a wonderful vacation and got to see the eclipse in person for the first time. Those are actually two separate gratefuls, so that's three.
Okay.
I am grateful that you guys were very warm and welcoming when I got back because you missed me. And I am grateful that the dump button and my cat-like reflexes work really well.
Okay. I am grateful that Sam is back. I am grateful for illegal gambling in the back office.
Bingo.
No, it's not bingo.
It's close.
I am grateful that the Masters starts this week.
I'm so excited.
Because I rarely watch golf, but when I do, I always watch the Masters. I am grateful that I will be in Mexico next week. And I'm grateful that the two of you are willing to let me go. I am grateful for screaming kids and sleeping dogs. That's what I'm grateful for.
Okay. I'm not going to challenge your gratefulness.
And I'm grateful that you...
Screaming kids, really?
Well, I have a elementary school in my backyard.
Oh, got it.
And I love to open the back door and just hear the kids playing on the playground.
Okay, I like that.
I love it.
It's a joyous noise.
Yes, it's innocence.
Yeah.
It's it literally is innocence.
Sure.
And, and that's how I take it in. And I'm grateful that you have had 50 trips around the sun.
But most grateful for the last 13.
Oh, more than ever. 913-586-7798. You know, I think I may have figured out Dana's birthday gift for tomorrow.
Do not walk in here with a journal. It's going to have two words on the first page.
Blank you.
Hand it right back.
Hand it right back.
You'll always know what I was thinking on that day, April 11th.
Does that count as a regift if you hand it right back?
I believe it does. If I bought you a journal, would you not accept it?
No.
Why?
Because I've probably got three of them. They're all blank. I don't write. I told you that.
What if it's leather bound and smells of rich mahogany?
Yeah. You're a brilliant writer.
I know, but I like to write, not to write about the thoughts in my head.
You don't have to write about the thoughts in your head. You can write... Today, Scott and I had to be at work at 10:30 and listen to some boring sales meeting.
Yeah, that's true.
And then he went and got me Planet Sub.
But then help me understand, for whom is that benefiting? Because my kids would not, they would be like, okay, like what?
Well, but like when I write, sometimes it's very innocuous.
Yeah.
So, sometimes it's very deep, very deep. But more often than not, it's just Sarah and I went to the sporting game on Sunday afternoon. It was a 3-3 tie against Toronto.
Okay.
And just so that when I'm dead, they can go back and they get to remember it. Now, there will be things.
That's what I'm saying. Are you going to rip out pages 2 through 30?
No, I'm not. I'm going to let them know what their dad was going through, what their dad was thinking.
Okay.
In some of the most deepest, darkest moments of his life.
And I wouldn't want my kids to be in that headspace. I don't know.
Well, but it's up to them to read it or not.
Yeah.
Right.
And if they know, oh no, this was foggy time, let's not read the journal in foggy time.
Right.
Because it's going to be dark.
Like, you know, when St. Margaret dies, and God forbid that day comes, and it will come,
I cannot wait. Well, I can wait, but you get my point. To read my dad's letters from Vietnam.
You know she would let you read them now.
I don't want to.
Okay.
I want to read them after she's gone.
Okay. Okay, but let me just.
Okay.
You will have questions that then she will not be here to answer. And I think if you just rip the Band-Aid off and read them now, it's not as painful as you think. And then you could say to her, what did he mean when he said this?
She doesn't know.
In certain circumstances, she might not. But she'll bring the letters out. She brought them out for me. When I recorded her legacy recording for you, she brought them out. She read a couple of them.
Yeah.
And I went, here we go. I'm getting to read his dad's deepest thoughts before he is.
Why am I so nervous?
Awkward.
Awkward moment.
Just read them now, please.
Let's go to Kent in Gladstone. Kent, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
You guys reminded me, my grandmother kept journals and my mother kept everything. And I'm 72 years old, so... about 2 weeks before I was born, my grandmother put in the journal that they went to town and couldn't find what they wanted, so they went back home. They lived in the country. And then they went up to Clinton and bought a new Chevrolet. After listening to years of, we didn't have any money, and we didn't, from my mother, just out of the blue, that's the page I read, and it was, we went and bought a new Chevrolet.
I'll be nervous.
I love it. It was probably like $2,000 back then or something, too.
Those are the things that you would write in your journal.
Okay.
I bought a new Chevrolet today.
And even that's not incredibly meaningful, but it presented an entire new idea to him about his young life.
Sure. I would write, Scott gifted me a journal, and I handed it back.
And then Scott would have that forever.
Then I would have my next journal.
It's a very quick read.
Quick break. Dan Weinbaum. Dan, do you keep a journal real quick?
I do not, although I wish I had been. Just to document my life.
Quick break for the news. Dan Weinbaum has that coming up in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks. We'll see you on the other side.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.